I'll be repeating the children's story. Reading from Mark 5, verses 21 through 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Would you pray with me? Father, I pray during these next few moments you would prepare our hearts, you would prepare our minds, you would open our ears to receive that which you would have us receive today. We know, Lord, many of us are suffering. We've dealt with illnesses for many years. We've spent much money to try to be free from them. But Father, this morning we're just praying for your special touch, for your healing power to go forth and to be within our bodies to make us whole. But Father, we trust you in this journey called life. We know that being free from all this suffering is not guaranteed, and until that day we take our final breath. But Lord, just help us, lead us, guide us in this time, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember those amusement resort rides you couldn't get enough of? For me, it was any ride that involved water. Whether it was the boats, the bumper boats, the log flume, or the sloosh at Knoebels. Whether it was River Rapids at Six Flags or my all-time favorite, It's a Small World at Walt Disney. I can never get enough of those rides. Well, by now we're starting to think Jesus loves nothing more than a boat ride. Our scripture opens again. Jesus crossed over by boat to the other side. Now look at that word again for a moment. Those water rides I love so much, I could easily say I'd go on again and again. We might be thankful when someone does something again. Perhaps the dishes or the laundry or your teenagers taking showers and brushing their teeth. But again, for Jesus, takes the form of not only crossing over in a boat, but in releasing his healing power. He's now back home to the western shore of the Sea of Galilee.
We could say by now Jesus is at the height of his popularity. The size of the crowd is overwhelming, but it's nothing new. People have come from north, south, east, west to see and to hear this Jesus. We just heard in our scripture that an official of the synagogue, Jairus, a man of privileged position, comes and falls before Jesus and begs him to come and to save the life of his 12-year-old daughter who's dying. So we find ourselves journeying with Jesus to the home of this official to heal his daughter. The large crowd again is following along, hoping to get a glimpse of him in action. As we travel, somewhat unexpectedly, we are introduced to this woman and her condition. A woman who has a hemorrhage for 12 years and has endured much at the hands of many physicians. Not to mention, she spent all she had and she found no relief nor helped at all. So at this point, many of us can pause here and relate. We've dealt with some illness for some time. We've been to varying doctors. We've perhaps even emptied our pockets of the funds we had. And yet here we are, still dealing with much of the same pain and suffering. It's easy for us to say it's getting old real fast. And could that be the perspective we're gaining about this woman? She's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. It's not hard to imagine. She's anemic. She's physically weak. She's debilitated by her sickness. But friends, she's also an outcast. Remember in Leviticus 15, there are specific laws given which speak about how to treat a woman who has a discharge of blood beyond her normal cycle. So this woman is considered ceremonial unclean. In other words, impure. As long as she was in this condition, and for 7 days afterward, she was to be considered unclean. Now, if you remember from a few weeks back, what that means is that anyone or anything that came in contact with her was also unclean. Keep that in mind. So essentially, she had to avoid people, even her own family. Needless to say, forget about approaching the tabernacle, the temple, because she'd only defile it. So what we know is she would not be allowed to attend any type of normal worship of her people. Again, for 12 years, this woman lived painfully separated, ostracized, held at a distance by her family, her community, her religion, and treated like an unclean, sinful outcast. The woman had endured much at the hands of many physicians. We would read in the Talmud, which is the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, that there are at least 11 different cures offered for this condition. Again, she spent all her money on these so-called cures. And let's just say it's no surprise she's actually worse off because of them. So let's get personal this morning. What condition do we find ourselves in? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, or financially? If we had to continue this way without hope of healing for 12 long years, again, many of us know the feeling, even longer. But keep traveling in this crowd, following Jesus. And that's firsthand witness, this impoverished woman, diseased, distant, and desperate. Throughout this encounter, we can find conditions that prevent us from getting too close to Jesus. Remember her perceived spiritual state. This woman had to tell everyone she met she was unclean. It was the law. So everyone knew she had a disease. Her experience in life up until this time, we could say, has been negative. She tried all she knew and was getting nowhere and only getting worse. Her natural circumstances made her weak from the loss of blood. Let's not forget the other people, the crowd of people surrounding Jesus, which made it difficult for her to get through. Now, there's this particular Friday coming up, and I only made the mistake once in my life going shopping on that day. And if you've ever experienced crowds, that would be the time you'd experience them. I've never seen people so desperate to get such a bargain that years later I've learned you can get in the afternoon. So the crowds are pressing in. And here this woman is trying to get, let's say, center front stage of Jesus. But friends, how often do we let people keep us from Jesus? We question, is God even interested in me? He seems to be preoccupied with so many others far worse off than me. This woman may have thought, he doesn't have time to help me. Not to mention the consequences of her actions. She could be brought before the rulers of the synagogue for touching someone and being unclean. So let's stay amidst that crowd and conceive what it takes to touch Jesus. Friends, first and foremost, I pray it so, we have that strong desire, that longing within us to be made whole. We must have faith that touching Jesus is the answer. And then we must have action. We see it in this woman's confession that shaped her actions. She went ahead and pressed through the crowds. With persistence, with all her strength, she reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And friends, we know the result. If you look at Luke's version in chapter 8, verse 45, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude presses against you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" You see, for the first time in 12 years, the woman experiences freedom. There was what we could call this divine exchange. Again, the woman pushes her way through the crowd of people, making each one of them unclean that she brushes against. And then she reaches out with every ounce of strength she can muster and defiles Jesus in the process. But friends, ultimately, she is healed. Immediately, the flow of her blood stops, and she feels within her the disease no longer. Immediately, Jesus perceives within himself the power being released. Friends, in this moment, words are simply inadequate to describe this. Yet it's our lifelessness for his life. The completeness of this woman's healing, the scope of what Jesus says to her, gets lost in English translation. So we'll travel to the original Greek. The word translated here as well goes beyond the scope of physical healing. It encompasses eternal spiritual salvation. You see, salvation from her sins, healing of her relationship with God. The word peace is the same word Jesus used to describe the peace that can only come from God. A deep, lasting, inner peace. Not the kind of temporary peace that we see in the world around us. That word healed speaks of restoration. It speaks of complete wholeness. It's a word used to describe Jesus' resurrected body. And afflictions is the same word which describes when Jesus was scourged, having his back ripped open by a whip. What this woman has been healed from is that severe. Let's not reduce this to a simple bubble bath with a cup of herbal tea. Don't lose the power of Jesus' touch. This healing is that complete. Friends, there's many, many places we are tempted to turn for healing. Some of them may very well be helpful, but the healing we need is not found in spiritual leaders or religious activities or traditions. It's not found in being part of a church. It's not found in philosophy or patriotism. Even psychology is limited to help us. Doctors promote it, but the soul, they cannot heal. Friends, the healing we need is not found in the latest fads of meditation or exercise or diet. What we need is Jesus. Amen? He's the only one. The only one who can give us total wholeness. The only one who can give us complete peace. And the only one, friends, who can heal our soul. Now our travels have suddenly come to a stop. We soon realize Jesus is searching for the woman. She now knows this full well. She has felt his powerful touch through the touch of his clothes. She's heard his voice, "Who touched me?" And she came, and she fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and she told him the whole truth. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Friends, this is what tenderness looks like. It's the only time in Scripture Jesus addresses someone this very way. She has found favor. She is noticed out of the crowd, and she's made completely whole. Friends, wherever we are in life, God can deal with our issues. Keep pressing through the crowd and touch him today. Let us continually be a people determined to find our source of life only in Jesus. And may that touch result in a shining example to the world, the fullness of the glory of God. You see, friends, this woman had been battling her problem for 12 years. God knows how long you've been battling. Maybe like her, you've tried everything and you're starting to realize it's time to try Jesus. Today could be that close encounter with Christ. Maybe like that man in chains last week, you're not exactly looking for Jesus. You're not even thinking about finding him. You'll continue doing the same thing you've always done. You'll keep waiting for Jesus to show up. But today could be different. What if you conceive in this very moment that Christ is seeking you? That Christ is already here in this place. And he's saying, just reach out and touch me. That close encounter could happen without even expecting it. Think about it, day in and day out, doing the same thing and nothing changes. All these years. And all along, Jesus has been saying, do you want to be well? And at this point, you may not fully know who Jesus is, what Jesus is capable of. But whatever side he has to cross over to, he'll do it again and again until we see the truth of his powerful touch. Friends, there's so much more in store for us in this life, but we must take hold of it. Sometimes, despite ourselves, we have that encounter with Jesus and we don't always see it. But during those times, realize we can't do this on our own. Realize, friends, this is when the healing begins. It's when the healing starts. And it begins and starts with brokenness within. It may take a little while, but Jesus will continue to seek us out. He'll continue to work until our eyes are finally open to the reality of his touch. But friends, in the meantime, we can join together in prayer and support of one another to make this happen. We know deep down who this Jesus is, and we know full well what he's capable of. Would you pray with me? God, we entrust our lives to you. As we sit here in our pews, as I stand here, we know the pains that we're dealing with, and we realize your scripture says that we may need to endure those sufferings. But Father, we also realize what this woman has done. We realize the encounter you had with that man in chains and with so many others throughout scripture, and your healing power went forth. So Father, we're patient. We're content. We know that it's only you that can make us whole. It's our soul that matters the most. But Father, in this hour, we're placing our physical, our emotional, our financial beings before you. And we're asking, if it be your will, that you would extend forth your touch and you would free us once and for all. And Father, as a result, we wouldn't remain silent, but we would be vocal and bring glory to your name. But in this hour, in these days ahead, these months ahead, these years ahead, we trust you. And we know that all this too shall pass. But Lord, you ask us to ask anything in your name. And so we're asking to heal us of those things we deal with day in and day out. But Father, we'll remain steadfast in our love for you no matter what happens. So may you be glorified. May you be praised through the life we lead. And may our lights shine until that day you return. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
was telling Joe how to get to John and Sandy Kaufman's house, and I told them where they used to live.
Oh, no. Well, there's a lot of places
that used to live. I'm like, oh.
They used to live in the,
you know what, they don't live.
House on 183 to that.
Yeah. And now?
Where Lois lives.
Yeah.
And now they live out on Teach House. Is it Teach House?
I don't know where they live, because I'm thinking they...
Oh, yeah,
I'm in my mind, they're still at Lois's house.
Oh, it's off the number 19. It's,
I have to go measure for a table. I'll look at the address, yeah. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. I think I have the right order. Come as you are, Teresa's prayer. I believe in Jesus. And shine, Jesus, shine. Are we doing the famous one?
Yeah, that's for the offering.
Oh gosh, I had it in the wrong order then. Okay, so Teresa's prayer, and then. Yeah, I have that totally out of order. Ah, well. Oh, I know, because I got it at the end, because I was sharing a book with Denise, that's why, and then I just tucked it in. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm glad you're sticking to it.
No, I'm crying.
Okay, let's
see. None of the music was in the computer, so Glenn was putting it in for us. So. Okay. I'm appreciative that you did that this morning.
Check 1, 2.
I know I'm on it because I could hear myself. Check, check, check. Can you hear Denise? Check, check, check. I think so.
Do that again.
Check, 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 yeah.
Yeah,
I just had to get closer for hers, because mine seems pretty hot.
Well, that's because you're on Dave's, I think, and his is always hotter.
Yes, because he doesn't.
And I don't have the thing to turn
it
down, okay. So you're
just
going to be
yep.
Real. You'll be hot up here with us, but you won't be hot out there, so don't. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to reassure
you.
Thank you.
We can also stand way back here.
Okay, so.
I just saw Alexa, so nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but she still sings.
She's
with
practicing.
Us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and she wasn't here on Sunday. So
right, they weren't here. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So.
Yeah.
I believe in Jesus.
Okay.
I was asked by someone to take them on a prison trip.
Oh. Well, could we pray? put it somewhere else to get intruded?
Or put it down where that table came from, is down at the top.
Yeah. Why don't you put it?
Okay.
Yeah, put it down there.
I was going to say, why can't we put the Christmas stockings in here in the sanctuary in the back classroom that we don't choose or something? That's where it always is. It's okay.
Definitely being molded, Lord, because we're feeling aches and pains. Challenged.
How did my gray sweater? I should have worn my maroon sweater. I had it in my hands.
It could have been all matchy.
Yes. I'm a little warm, but maybe I can put it on just so. Well, we can't.
Oh, you don't need to put a sweater on.
I know, but I was like, ooh,
so you can match.
We're still matchy. We're still
well, right? Yeah, because I already had gray, and then I had my maroon sweater. Because
you don't want to be too hot.
Exactly. Yeah. But this is like, this is actually not, it's like a fake.
No, oh, it's an old one.
Yeah, it's a fake. So it's just
it's a fake.
But then this
oh.
Is one. Yeah, so.
Oh. So. I thought it was a sweater and a shirt. That's
no,
neat.
It's not. It's all one piece.
One piece. I
one
am
piece. Fashion
aesthetic.
Alrighty.
Fashion impaired me.
So with this gingerbread stuff, how many gingerbread things do you guys make? How much is made? Like how much do they?
They make 50 houses, and then they also made about a dozen trees last year. I just physically can't.
I know there was talk this morning about say, is it something we could bake here at church and just do it here with all the ovens? Well, just give me the recipe and I'll buy other things.
Let's practice.
Yeah, okay, all right. What do we want to practice? Do we want to do a little of Come As You Are? Do we want to just do the famous one?
I think we should do something we're familiar with and then go into the famous one, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Whatever.
How about if we start with Come As You Are?
Shoes.
Her shoes survived the dog or not?
Her shoes survived the dog, but she needs new shoes. Not because of the dog, but because of being on her feet at Dutch Way now. And at Kaufman's, she had cushy knee mats, and so her feet and legs didn't bother her, but now there's nothing, and her legs are bothering her.
Yeah. I can relate.
But now it's time to figure out where, when, I should say, when to take her to get her fitted. Right.
Good. Good luck with that.
So maybe Tuesday, unless she gets called into work.
I turned it off. There we go. I'm like, I'm pretty sure
my keyboard all of a sudden was black, and I was like, oh no. It's okay, it's back.
We're playing piano today.
Okay, famous one. Here we go. Are we ready?
Doesn't work till 3 or 3:30. So today she's at conference.
Okay.
Dutch Way's closed on
yes,
Sundays.
Yes, I know. It's on the first day. I didn't know she could.
Yeah, she's, well, she's putting in her resignation today.
Okay.
She was kind of making sure for Dutch Way.
Good for me.
Nice.
I kind
of strongly encourage
Sundays.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't know the cook.
He doesn't. No.
Wants to
box.
Make sure. Oh, he's too funny.
Bring that.
That's funny.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.